I want to welcome into the studio now our friend Gerry Cooley. Good morning, Gerry. Or good afternoon.
Morning, John.
Good afternoon, Gerry.
How are you, John?
We're going to talk about this Bus Connects thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy what's going on.
Yeah, well, this has been going on a couple of years, and I suppose it's been lurking out there. Everyone will agree that traffic in Dublin is a problem. Like you see that road into Duncondra from the airport, M1, they say it's the busiest strip of road in the country. And somebody within the bus department, Bus Connect, NTA, National Transport Authority, decided they were going to get this project going called Bus Connectivity, and that was to iron out the creases in the traffic system.
I think actually somebody went abroad, Gerry, and seen this
I'm hearing
transport.
This, yeah. In Australia, I think.
And came back here and said, I've a great idea. And of course,
let's do this. Let's do this.
We can do this.
Yeah, you know, I won't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you know, there's a couple of things that are sticking out a mile with this. And I'll just focus you in and what's... Of course, I can only really talk about in detail about what's going on our doorstep. And I live in Santry.
Yeah.
And I live on the bus route. I've been taking the buses on that bus route through Santry for the last 50 years. And so I'm there. I see it in operation every day. And in my role as a tour guide, I'm coming in and out of the city on the bus. And typically I use the 16, the 41, the 33, the 41A. And we're coming through the village of Santry.
Yeah.
Now, I had heard about Bus Connect, and I am a voluntary director of the Santry Resource Centre. I've been involved in the community thing for the last 30 years. So our lady in the club, Caroline Malloy, she was going to the consultations and giving us feedback. And then it came out that, to me, which was a surprise to me, that a certain section of it beyond the gates of Santry Park, existing Santry Park, was part of the enlargement and the inclusion of a bus lane, which was basically setting off a nuclear bomb, as far as I'm concerned, in the heart of Santry, the built heritage of the walls and the gates and the trees themselves.
Okay, yeah.
So I submitted my concerns to the process as normal, but I got a feeling in the area that no one was really aware of this. They were vaguely familiar of Bus Connect. They were vaguely familiar of this twisted one-way system that was we're talking about anomaly.
Yeah.
But there was no focus on beyond, say, the Santry lights there at the Swiss Cottage pub and on beyond. So... But the devil is in the detail, as they say. So I got a copy of it, and to my absolute horror, I seen the fact that this bus lane was going to be added in both sides of the road, around Santry Stadium area. But the particular one that was doing the damage for me was the one that was coming straight through the old gates and the old estate wall, curtaining Santry Stadium.
Just explain to the listeners now exactly where this is. The community centre.
Yeah, if you go to the end of Coolock Lane...
To your right, stretch of road there. Is that what we're talking about?
If you come down the old Coolock Lane towards Santry, and you'll come to a T junction, and Fastbit Exhaust is on your right, the centre is on your right, the resource centre is on the left, it's on that corner.
Yeah.
Right. So directly in front of us, you'll see a set of old gates. They're the old estate gates, and they're the entrance into the park, Santry Park. So what they're saying is they need to put a bus lane through that airport bound. And they need a bus lane on the other side of the road coming out of the airport, from the direction of the airport. They're saying it's going to improve the connectivity we've got a measurement. It's going to take off 10 seconds journey from the buses if they straighten the road, basically.
So they're going to spend all this money on for the sake of 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And when they say they're going to spend all this money, they're going to knock down walls. It's going to take parts of...
100 trees gardens. Are going and the walls are going. And 100 trees is our mature trees. So, you know, like it's disbelief. And, you know, not often do you get a local issue, which in fact is a global issue.
Yeah.
It's a global issue now. Trees, oxygen, climate change. And only as recently as last week, Ireland has jumped into the fray at last.
I don't think they had any choice on it, Jerry. They had to.
We are the absolute worst offenders. Yeah. And we've now declared a climate emergency. So I'm busily doing my science for Saturday. Now, I've decided to go out and sort of educate people, put up the placards, talk to people outside the park every week for the last month. And I have a vested interest in it because I live there. But I also, down through the years, we have fought for that park. Like those gates that are there were already moved back to compensate for the road. So the words keep coming into my head, enough is enough, and this is total madness. Now, I attended a briefing up in Glasnevin Cemetery last week, and I met a man called Mr. Fleming and Mr. Sheehy, and they were the top boys in this whole thing. And they're fairly reasonable characters.
Who did? But these with Bus Connects themselves or the transport?
Yes, they are the top men in this. And they were meeting people who had concerns like myself. Now, the usual suspects attend these things. The head cases, as they say. The people who have an interest in it. And it people are very busy. People in their daily lives are busy. And the amount of people who will walk in and out past the problem and not ask you even what's going on, it's actually shocking. So
it should concern everybody in this day.
Of course it should. And I suppose it's a local issue, but it's a global issue. So my intention is, and I've told Mr. Fleming and I told Mr. Sheedy that they're going to, that they'll be re-engaging with the forums as they go through this process. Now, in fairness, they did say it's a very early stage.
Yeah.
This is the worst. This is the worst case scenario, and they will listen to all of the concerns people have. But I warned Mr. Fleming that it's not good enough to patronise us and say, "Oh, we'll take all your concerns." They are not going to take those walls and trees out of the way. It's just an absolute non-starter.
Yeah, just to get out of the way just for one second, I've covered this a lot, Bus Connects, with local councillors and residents' associations and things like that. And I think the management in Bus Connects are very, very surprised at the comeback when they'd done their online survey and stuff like that. They were very, very surprised. Like, I went on it, I was objecting to the removal of the 27B.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of people were very worried about different bus routes going.
Yeah.
You know, and the last time I spoke to a council, I more or less got the impression that they were very, very surprised at the amount of feedback they got on that. And it's going to take them longer to go through it all than they actually envisaged to begin it.
Like that sort of staggers belief or disbelief, you know. And Dublin Bus are sort of offenders here, right? Yeah. These Bus Connect people are coming in to fix a problem that Dublin Bus themselves should have been able to solve. Yeah. For example, right? There's about 300 journeys through the village of Santry, coming and going, back and forth, Swords, Dublin Airport, through Santry, every day. 9 people out of 10 people sitting on a bus in Santry don't want to be in Santry. They want to be on their way to Dublin Airport. They want to be on their way to Swords. Swords is nearly the same size as Limerick in population. Yeah. So there is a need to transport people out of those areas, but not through Santry. Now, in the short term, what they could have done was direct. When I'm standing at the gates with my placards, 500 metres away from me to the east is the biggest road in Ireland. It's the M1 exiting the Port Tunnel. Yeah. These buses are coming out of Dublin and they don't want to be in Santry. So somebody in Bus Éireann should have said, you know what it is, guys? We don't really need to be passing through Santry with every bus. Send the 33 directly to Skerries. Send the 41, A41 directly to Swords. And send the 16 directly to the airport via the M1.
Yeah, right. Have an expressway.
Take it out of the village. Now, in the recent 3 weeks, and this has all come together, which is good for the campaign. The Metro Now has gone live. They're saying now the Metro North. They've discarded the Southside version of it, and they're saying they're going to go Metro live from Swords to Airport, Ballymun, underground into the city centre. In 10 to 15 years' time, when that's live, there'll be nobody coming on buses through Santry going to the city. Only people who live in Santry will be requiring to have bus stops there. So, in my opinion, logically speaking, The buses in the short term need to be redirected out onto the M1 and only put the buses through Santry that need to be there. And I have been on the bus route for 50 years and I've never seen a traffic jam outside Santry Stadium, only for the events that come on there.
Yeah. Well, we were saying that earlier. It's not really a very busy
no,
road.
No, there's never a consistent traffic jam there. So in the short term, redirect the buses, and in the long term, Metro North will service anybody who needs to go to the city centre. And the metro station is on the other side of the park. It's in walking distance of Santry Park. So it's actually in it. It's on the outskirts of it, on the other side of it, on the Ballymun side of it.
Now, you mentioned 15 years there, 10 to 15 years for the metro. The way things are going now at the moment as regards finances.
Yeah.
And the children's hospital.
Yeah.
The broadband issue.
Yeah.
And it could be longer than that, you know. So,
well, you know, time flies.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
oh, I know.
John, you know it. Like, time flies when you're having fun. Like, but I suppose my local issue, is a global issue, right?
As regards the environment, we're talking about.
As regards the environment, to make such a willy-nilly decision to say, okay, we'll just take this quarter of a mile of road out of it, and any tree that's along it or within 40 feet of it, we'll take that out as well. We don't care how old it is. We don't care how much oxygen it gives us. And we don't care how much traffic fumes this extra bus lane is going to bring us, because we haven't redirected the traffic out onto the M1, where they have systems in place to absorb the lead and the stuff out of into the foliage. They have special plants along there that absorb it and deals with it.
Children in school will tell you that, you know, because they're very well educated about the environment.
And there's another point that's come out in the last month or two. This young one, Greta. This woman, this young girl,
who's
now standing up and saying, we need to be saying, like, you and I are grandfathers, like, and we look at our children and we help them and we do everything for them. Yet, we are taking the short-term view and we are not dealing with the long-term asteroid that's coming towards us, hurtling towards us. We're all looking the way.
Yeah.
We're all looking the other way.
I've done lots of interviews on this. I had a school children in here with me who were doing a beach cleanup,
right,
in Howth.
Yeah.
And you might remember the photograph of me with the cloak of Howth on me. But anyway, they were very well educated. We ended up talking about plastic in the sea. And this is going back a couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
And we were very well up on the environment. And I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm getting great mileage out of this story, because every time I interview somebody about the environment, I tell the story. I was out in the back garden with my granddaughter.
Right.
She's five. I'll probably get a slap for getting their age wrong. But we were picking daisies. She was picking daisies for her mammy, waiting for her to come in from work, right?
Lovely.
And I was out in the garden with her. And she said, okay, granddad, we have to stop here because we have to leave some for the bees.
Wow.
They're very important to the environment.
There you go.
This is a 5-year-old, you know.
There you go.
And there's our powers that be declaring an environmental emergency and cutting down 100 trees.
Yeah, look, we should be, every day in Ireland, we should be planting trees.
Yeah.
Like it's sticking out a mile. We have the lowest forest coverage in the EU. We've been all the way lagging behind. Now, in fairness, we had a lot to recover from. We'd 1% of deforestation due to people cutting down trees to heat and cook up to the 1900s after the Industrial Revolution, because we've no coal in Ireland. We've no natural resources like that. So we had to burn wood.
Yeah.
And then we
have turf, but we're not allowed to
and that's
dig it up.
Yeah. And like, that's another one. But we swapped coal, we swapped beef for coal during the emergency and the Second World War. But all of that, as a country, and I'm out on tour, out into the countryside, and people come back and say, like, the animals are on the land, but where's all the tillage? And where is all the, where there's no tree coverage? You get places like Wicklow.
Yeah.
But if you go to certain counties, we should be encouraging people. Every person should be made or supported to plant one tree a year, even if it's only in your garden. And like, I have a neighbour, I'm not going to go into my address, but my next door neighbour cut down 40-year-old trees. Three of them next door. just because they didn't like the leaves blowing around the garden when they fell off the tree. Now, nobody should be allowed to touch trees legally until somebody comes out and says, yes, you can do it.
Yeah, you get permission, official permission to do so.
But, you know, it's a willy-nilly approach to the very oxygen-producing machines that we have, the natural, the trees. This willy-nilly approach has to stop, and we have to get tree-friendly.
Okay. Now, going back to the meeting you had with the two guys from Bus Connect, what was their attitude towards your objections?
Well, they were very sort of open to it, but like I was making the point to this man, Mr. Fleming, about maybe redirecting the buses. And like they were coming back, but this is going to happen and that's going to happen. What about the population increase that's coming down the line? We're planning for the future. But and I'm coming back and saying, but you're planning to put extra bus lanes in when in actual fact you should be concentrating on the fact that the metro's going to bring them in. And try and get people out of their cars. Like that car line that's going into Dunkondra. Analyse the reasons why people are sitting in their cars for 1 hour before they go into work and maybe half an hour on the way back. And ask them, why are they doing that? And what other ways could you do it? Now, I suppose the one up the flagpole, well, there's no buses. That's the attitude. Yeah.
Or the buses are full.
The buses are full. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a huge movement towards shifting populations in the metro. This is the big one. And this is going to transport people away from the carbon monoxide producing traffic on the roads and put them onto a electric driven railway. It'll be the DART. It'll be something like the Lewis DART. It'll be electricity. And that's another sort of windmills.
Yeah.
Ireland need to get sharp on it. But on a local level, what am I doing here today? I'm talking to you about, I have a petition.
Is it an online petition?
No, not yet. I'm in the early stages of this and I have people on board with me. But the online petition is fine, but I would rather have people, there's a lady up there on Coolock Lane called Linda. She's going door to door. People are getting out and about and talking about it face to face. So I'll be out there all day on Saturday. I'll be up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll have my signs up. The place will be festooned. If you're in the Sanji area, drop by and say hello.
Have a chat.
Have a chat and understand that this local problem, this local attitude, the government's attitude to trees and maybe even society, saying, look, you know, there's only a few cranks are going to come to this and we can get rid of them and they don't really have that many votes. Like they're eco-warriors, you know, all that type of stuff. And then they just go ahead with the stuff because there's stuff at work behind this. This is an EU-funded concern. Ireland are funded it and so are the EU. There is a rumour that I'm hearing, I've got inside a track information, that the contracts have already been given for this.
So they go ahead with this.
Yeah, like the work has already been assigned to companies and it's already done and dusted and vested interests are at work here. Somebody's going to have to dig up these roads. Somebody's going to have to do the work and the dogs on the streets are barking that these contracts have already been issued. And in the climate that we have in this country, you know what it is, anything could happen. Just go back to John.
We will stress now that rumours were talking about.
Rumours. But you know, Ireland is a small country. There's people walking by me who are working in the civil service and they're just popping up things and saying, yeah, okay. Well, you know what the story is there. So I want to make sure that we stand up in the local community and say, you're not doing this. This doesn't make any sense. This is madness. It's not needed. And go away and start encouraging people to get out of their cars and when they come home at night get some trees into their garden.
Yeah. Jerry and they're beautiful things.
Absolutely.
Now, just the local elections are coming up now.
Yes, and this
so
is
you're going to get councillors knocking
on your
door.
Yeah, this is why I'm triggering it to this. This is the last Saturday we're going to have because the elections are the Friday week.
Yeah.
And so this is our last sort of runner up the flagpole, but it's not going to go away. We're going to be up there. We are going to be up there until we get somebody in front of us to say, you know what it is, there's no bus lane going through that strip of land. It's not required.
Yeah. Now, the guys that you spoke to, did they say they'd get back to you when they looked into this?
Yes. Well,
you know, that'll be interesting.
Mine was an informal meeting with them. I went to the Glasnevin, Phibsborough area one. So I just voiced my opinion and said, look, up in Santry, there's an opposition that's gaining momentum here. I just want to run it up the flagpole and give... I don't want to start throwing stones and breaking bottles and all this sort of stuff. That doesn't work.
No.
It's reasonable, discussion, logical conversation. But if they don't listen to it, if they poo-poo it and say, you don't know what you're talking about, well, then we'll go a different way. Because we have it in Santry. We've been doing this for 30 years. We had to deal with planning, corruption. Ray Bourke was the man who went to prison in the end for corruption. He was the man involved in Santry Woods. We fought all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. It's a historical fact. He was jailed for corruption and he owned the land in there. So we're used to dealing with that type of thing and we will not lie down without a fight.
Right. Now, there's also the case that people are going to lose pieces of their gardens further down.
Yes.
You know, and... I did get compensation for it, but I was reading an article. I don't know whether you heard this. I think it was Ratcool was the area.
Right,
I'm not quite sure, but they were talking about that there's going to be around 1,000 trees.
Oh, Jesus.
Taken down.
Wow.
The people who are doing the work said, I'm not sure. Said a couple of hundred. It'd be a couple of hundred trees. Maybe say 500. I'm not sure the exact figures.
Yeah.
But the residents said no.
Get out and count them. Yeah.
There's a. We have trees in our gardens.
Yeah.
And the piece of the garden that we're going to lose contains
trees. Yeah.
So it could be as much as 1,000.
Yeah, now, well, there you go.
What becomes of that, I don't know.
Well, you know, John, I'm going to encourage my granddaughters to come up on Saturday and, like, bring out them and into the conversation. Because, like, okay... Yeah. I suppose the annoying part of all of this is that it takes the likes of Joe Soaps like ourselves to stand up and talk about it and do something about it. And, like, they should listen. Like, it's as plain as their nose on the face where the disconnect is, or bus connect, pardon the pun. The disconnect.
The disconnect,
connect.
Yeah.
So I'll be up there on Saturday. Weather permitting, I'm hoping that my banners will stay up. The wind is my number one enemy. But if we get a good day, people will walk by and just keep it flying up the flagpole that in Santry, they are not going to destroy our built heritage and then destroy our trees. Now, they'll say they'll replant them. I've seen the efforts that they've done. It's scandalous, you know.
These trees are many years old.
120 years old.
Like, so, yeah.
Like, how sad is that? I'm trying to count the leaves on the trees to work out how many leaves are going to be lost on 100 trees. I'm saying a million trees. And I'll finish on the climate emergency. Sticking out a mile. Like, we need to get ourselves and the whole thing and be part of that small movement that says enough is enough. We're nearly past that point of no return. I've got a feeling about this. The likes of David Attenborough is on the television. He's telling everybody.
Yes, very powerful voice as well.
70% of the forests on planet Earth have been lost since the Industrial Revolution. And they're now discovering more bad news. Soil. There's a limited amount of harvest you can get from the soil and then the soil becomes useless because the sun is breaking it down. So we need to, all the leaves that are generated, mulching them, the worms, producing more soil. It's all this. This is a can of worms, pardon the pun.
Right, well, we're running out of time, Jerry.
Anyway, I'll see you all next Saturday.
Yeah, next
Bring
Saturday.
Bring me a cup of tea. Because I come along, don't
all
come
day,
up empty
it?
Handed. I'll be there all day.
Okay.
Cheers. Thanks very much for your time, John.
And you too, Jerry. Thank you.